Hello, welcome to WDRT's Conversations. This is a weekly program with changing hosts. My name is Kayleen Welsh, and I am your host for this episode. And with me today for our conversation is Tanya Bjerka. And we're going to talk a little bit about, well, Tanya and I talked a few weeks back, and we talked about Viroqua Community Theater. Mm-hmm. And we have an update there and some new information. And then we're going to go on, and we're going to talk a little bit more about another program that she has going on here in Viroqua, or she's a part of, A Time for Joy. So, Tanya, thanks for coming in again.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good to have you. All right, so here we are again. So let's start with Viroqua Community Theater. And I know last time that we talked about your upcoming schedule and some plans for the year, and there turned out there was a hitch in one of those plans. So update us a little bit on what's happening.
Yes, thank you. So we have a summer musical coming up, and we thought we were going to be doing Mamma Mia, but we were unable to secure the licensing rights. So we are now, have already started. Our show is going to be Little Shop of Horrors, which we are super excited about. So that was a little touch or go for a little while.
Awesome. Okay, well, that sounds like a fun replacement, though. So, and I think, you know, when we were talking, auditions were even anticipated, you know, April or something. So where
That's
are you
correct.
At with it now?
Our auditions will be held on April 18th and 19th. So coming up pretty soon here, and you can find out all you need to know about the auditions on our website. I also posted on Facebook. ViroquaCommunityTheater.org is our website. And yeah, you can, there's a sign up on there, so you can find a time slot that works for you to come to the auditions. There's also materials to help you be come prepared for the auditions. There's, you know, some dialogues to practice. There's some music and some dance to prepare. So
that sounds like fun. Okay, and I don't really know much about that show. What can you tell me?
Well, it's a campy classic. It's very fun music. It's a show, you know, about a plant that. That has some interesting characteristics.
Oh, I think maybe I do know that program, that show a bit. Okay, all right.
It was famously, made into a movie with Rick Moranis and Steve Martin back maybe about 20 years ago. Does that sound about right?
Some pretty funny characters.
Yeah, but the music is very fun, and it's got some real fun characters in it. And
kind of a range of cast?
Arrange meaning like
ages or people.
All of the characters are adult characters, so we don't. This is not our children's musical, but I'm sure we'll have some younger, theater lovers auditioning. But all of the characters are adults in it.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And I suppose, and maybe you have the team put together, but. Support for?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Steve Lorden is our director, and Nikki Steele is our choreographer. We have not identified the music director quite yet, but we're on our way to that. And the performances will be held in the Landmark Center, July 24th through the 26th. And then again the next weekend, the 31st of July and August 1st and 2nd. So the last weekend of July and the first couple days of August.
Awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
Anything else going on with Viroqua Community Theater since we talked that you want to mention?
We finished our show, The Homegrown Voices.
Yeah.
That was just going to happen the last time we talked. And we had a lot of fun with that. We had great audience that showed up for that. And I think our directors... they expressed that they were happy with their shows performed on stage, and I think all around it was a good experience for everybody.
Awesome. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, so should we switch topics now then and jump into? I'd like to hear more about this program that I know you've been working with for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know even when we talked last time, we said we should come back and do a program on that. And so let's, we're here for that. So
okay.
A Time for Joy.
A Time for Joy.
I love the title. I love the topic. So talk to me a little bit about what that program is.
Absolutely. So A Time for Joy is a social respite program. It's like a drop-off program for folks living with dementia. And so that's kind of the overview. And then we can get into more details. We started it about a year and a half ago as an opportunity for families or primary caregivers to get up to 4-hour break every week from caregiving when they have a loved one who is living with dementia. So we provide up to four hours of socialization, games. We provide lunch, a little bit of easy exercise, some movement, and it's been a very successful program so far, and we're continuing to grow it and spread the word. So I'm really happy to be here talking about it. A lot of people still don't know about us, and we've been in place for about a year and a half.
So do people come like once mm-hmm. a week mm-hmm. or more, or is that kind of optional?
It's every Wednesday from 10 to 2.
Okay, so
Every Wednesday for 4 hours. We do have some people who don't come for the full 4 hours, but there's the opportunity to drop off your loved one at 10 o'clock and pick them up at 2 o'clock. And it's also, you know, we also do have some sort of elders in our community who maybe are more isolated or who don't have family around who like to come and engage in our program as well, providing just some fun and some camaraderie mm-hmm. and, you know, a really nice lunch, good experience for everyone. And then we run it almost entirely with volunteers.
Okay.
We have the person who coordinates the program, Savannah, and then the rest of us are volunteers.
Okay. Well, let's come back to, you know, the details of how mm-hmm. that all works or what that would look like on a mm-hmm. typical Wednesday. I'm curious just a little bit more about how did this program even get started?
Sure, absolutely. I really love this story. I work in elder care, and I've been working in elder care for years in the community, and I work closely with the ADRC. I'm on their list of providers that they...
ADRC.
The ADRC, yes, the adults.
Wait, Aging and Disability.
Aging and Disability yeah. Resource Center. Sorry, Teresa.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I hear these acronyms sometimes myself, and I'm like, I don't know what the heck that even means.
Aging and Disability Resource Center, which is a county program, and it's housed over in the building adjacent to the courthouse. The old jail.
Oh, okay. All right.
So... Teresa had mentioned to me and knew about a respite program where they were doing a workshop and kind of a training about it I think that was in Eau Claire. And so it sounded exciting to me. We've been talking for years about the need for a respite program.
You mentioned Teresa, and I suppose mm-hmm. I just got to say, is that someone associated with Aging and Disability
yep,
Resource
Teresa
Center?
Gander at the ADRC.
Gotcha.
Yep. Hi,
so
Teresa.
So you've been working in this field, and you've gotten to know her, and, mm-hmm. and you guys, she mm-hmm. saw a need, saw this conference, and mm-hmm. contacted you.
Yeah, we've been talking about the need for one in the area for a long time. This workshop opportunity came up, and I went up to visit and meet the person who started these programs. She started them in, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it was Georgia. She started this program called Respite for All. And the difference is in this program is that it's a social-based program versus a medical program. Now, you might be familiar with, I think it was called Care Cove, used to be a drop-off, kind of an adult daycare program that we had here that closed, I believe, during COVID or right around the time that COVID happened. And we have not replaced that
Good to know, because I guess I'm not really familiar. Mm-hmm. I haven't really had anyone mm-hmm. living with this experience, and so it's really good to hear the options or what's going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So we wanted to start a non-medical one, which would mean that the program runs with volunteers. We don't take on somebody who needs, like, medications or needs to be helped in the bathroom, things like that. It's It's a simpler program to run, and so I just fell in love with the program when I went to that workshop. Daphne, who started the program, is just a wonderful advocate for Respite for All. And so we wanted to implement that program here in Viroqua. We got a grant from their foundation, the Respite for All Foundation. And I believe we also got a grant from, there's another respite grant available. I think it's a state, Wisconsin state grant. And then we opened the program a year and a half ago. And it's modeled on this, like I said, a social respite program basis. And our coordinator meets once a month on a Zoom call with other coordinators around the country. So this program has been implemented in states all over the country. And we were the first to try it in a rural area. I do believe there's a couple others now that are in a more rural area, but we're a fairly small town to try to implement this program because, because our demographic is a little bit smaller here, and for the program to be kind of self-sustainable, you want a good group of people. So we've been growing slowly, and it's been very successful.
Well, one of the things that I love about that is just even the fact that I think Viroqua is so progressive in that regard. Mm-hmm. They're willing to step into some areas that other parts of the country maybe haven't yet, or rural areas, with the green burial stuff, mm-hmm. with this, with even community radio. Mm-hmm. So, all right, mm-hmm. way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, anyone can find out more about the Respite for All program. It's sort of basis program. There's a lot of great videos on their Respite for All website. I think it's respiteforall.org. We have a Facebook page, but we don't have our own website. We're not that tech savvy.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited when I came back from Eau Claire. Teresa and I, and our friend Blair, who also is an elder caregiver in the area, we talked about trying to get this started. We reached out to Pastor Michelle over at Emmanuel Lutheran, and she offered her space. They have a great community hall space that's accessible, and a very large space with tables and chairs and a wonderful kitchen area. And they just welcomed us right in. So we are sort of, we're housed there. We are under their, under their financial management, but we are our own program within that. And so it's been a really great collaboration with them. I will say that, Emmanuel Lutheran has the best volunteers. Oh my gosh, they just go out of their way to help.
So some of the church members have stepped up to be a part of this program.
A lot of the church members are volunteers, but we welcome anybody. It's not, we're in a church, but we're not mm-hmm. religiously based. And
sure.
it's a welcoming program to anybody. And we do have volunteers from all over. And we're always looking for more volunteers. I'm going to say that a number of times. If you're interested, please don't hesitate to look us up, reach out. I can give a phone number if that's what would be appropriate right now.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. If you're interested, you can call 608-637-3983. The email is a little more complicated. That's why I thought that the phone number would be better.
Okay.
Just leave a message and someone will get back to you.
And can you speak a little bit about what volunteers would be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, we do provide training, so nobody has to have any experience. You just have to have a love of hanging out with elders in the community and hearing their stories. But you would be amongst a group of many people. We try to keep our ratio of our friends, we call friends, folks living with dementia, and volunteers, we like to keep that ratio very low. So we might have, six or seven friends who've come, and we will have, three or four or even five volunteers there. So it's not, we don't do one-to-one, but we sometimes are like 2-to-1. And so you're never going to be alone. We do everything in a large group, and you would come and help us play games, and sometimes we do art projects, and sometimes we make food together, and Jane Schmidt is one of our community collaborators, and she comes and does exercise circles with us, and we play balloon games. And
nice.
It's just, and we always have music at the end. The last half hour is usually music. We do group singing. We have a couple volunteers, Jane Keeley and Tom Repke, who are almost always there. They play guitar, banjo, harmonica. Dodie Whitaker often comes to do singing with us as well, and it's a lot of fun. We've actually been developing favorite songs into a songbook so that we just go through and pick what songs we're singing today, and they're always either kind of old-timey, folksy songs that everybody knows, or kind of some traditional, just good time, good times.
It sounds like a good time. And, I totally value singing and sound and music. And and it just seems like that's such a great way to, connect with people whose, shall we say, brain functioning isn't always having them present. Would that be a way to say it?
Maybe their brains are not working the same way that they used to, or the same way that ours do, or they're struggling with some cognition. And we do provide some training. We try to do training every other month with our ongoing training with our volunteers, just to get together and talk about what struggles are you seeing, what challenges are coming up for you when in working with this population of folks, and also what ideas do we have to make our program better? Our volunteers have great ideas, and really, really bring out creativity. And storytelling is a big part of what we try to bring out too. All activities are an opportunity for storytelling.
Would you say that many of your volunteers have lived experience with dementia?
Do any of our volunteers?
Well,
do that?
Not maybe. I mean, with their family members.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I know we have a couple volunteers who've shared that they've had this experience themselves. And sometimes we have caregivers come with their loved one who are not ready to separate yet, and that's also welcome. We have a couple pairs of folks who come together, and one of them, it's kind of nice because it's a husband and wife, and the wife is slowly taking the opportunity to leave for more and more time while her loved one gets used to the program. And so we can work with any kind of situation, because separation is often a big challenge for folks living with dementia. And so we do have people that come and stay the whole time, and it's just an opportunity for them also to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. It's a very isolating illness. And even that if they don't get that full separation, or they're not quite ready for that, it's still a fun 4 hours on Wednesday to
break
come and hang
routine.
Out with other people other people who understand what's going on and what it's like.
We're going to take a little station break and remind everyone that you're listening to Conversations on WDRT. My name is Kayleen Welsh. I'm your host. I'm here with Tanya Birka, and we're talking about A Time for Joy, a program for dementia in Vernon County. Welcome back to WDRT 91.9 FM radio, community radio, Viroqua, Wisconsin. And I'm Kayleen Welsh, and this is Conversations, and I'm talking with Tanya Birka. So Tanya, we were just talking about the program A Time for Joy, and we were just talking about, you know, how many people even come to a program, and we're getting familiar with this program that's available for people in our area, for people that have dementia and for their loved ones. So we were just talking about kind of the numbers. You see it increasing, mm-hmm. Do you see some increased demand?
I'll be honest, there's always just been a high demand. Mm-hmm. You know, I get phone calls for people needing care, needing a few hours a week. Can you come over for a few hours a week and care for my loved one so I can just go shopping or go get my hair done or go to a doctor's appointment? At a point in everybody's dementia, in their journey with dementia, there comes a point when you can't leave your loved one alone any longer, either for safety reasons or just because they will be too anxious. And so it just becomes very challenging to get very simple things done.
Mm-hmm.
So I get calls all the time from people who are looking for that that resource. And I'm sure the ADRC gets even more because, you know, they have a list of caregivers. And it's really hard to find people who have the time to provide 4 hours of respite a week.
Well, and it must be interesting, too, because it seems like, in some ways, like with that separation idea, that relationship would be important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hard to just kind of mm-hmm. leave your loved one or
mm-hmm.
with someone else or even for that someone coming
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It can be easier to have somebody come out to your own home because a person is going to be always more comfortable in an environment that they're familiar with. But that's also why we allow people to come and visit our program, stay, you know, and have their caregiver stay as long as needed to help ease that transition, that separation period.
Well, in the same place every week then, and it sounds like mm-hmm. some similar routine and similar
absolutely. Yep.
people, volunteers.
We try to keep our routine as simple and consistent as possible. Savannah has built our program, you know, from like, you know, when we first arrived, this happens. And then about every 30 minutes, there's a change in an activity that's, you know, goes through a progression of like, you know, like maybe just a table activity and a game. And then maybe we'll do some movement and then it's lunch. And then it's usually a game and then music.
Mm-hmm.
So try to keep the games simple and recognizable, you know, something that they would have played in their younger days.
Can you give
maybe
me
like
an example?
Bingo,
okay.
Like bingo, okay. You know, I mean, everybody would recognize
sure.
bingo. Surprisingly, Uno is a pretty successful game.
Mm-hmm.
And because our volunteer, because we keep our volunteer numbers higher than in a, like a medical program where you might have one or two nurses working with, you know, 12 or 15 people, we'll have, you know, somebody sitting right next to someone who's more impaired who can help them through an activity if it's something unfamiliar or they don't have the skills necessary to work on their own. So we keep a close eye on everyone and provide the support that any individual needs for any activity. But we do keep them as simple as we can. And lots and lots of opportunities to just, you know, hear, like, we'll start a game and one of our friends will decide that this is what they want to actually do is tell us a story about something from their childhood. And it's like I keep telling our volunteers, you know, it's not about the game or who wins the game or the end of the game. It's just that we're all together and we just take it as it comes. And if this is when somebody wants to tell us a story, then we all listen to the story. And that's what we're here for.
Well, and I kind of like the way your eyes light up even as you talk about some of those stories or things. And so clearly this has been work that has been important to you and kind of opened your heart or something.
It's been really lovely to have this program get started and to be successful. And I think we've been talking about it for years before we Got it. And there's just so many difficulties to starting a respite program that has a medical model, because you have to get licensed and there's all these, like, you know, statutes and things that you have to listen to. But if you move, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of it myself, but you move to the social model and it becomes so much easier. And frankly, it's just, you know, we're there to provide. I think Daphne, the person who started these programs, said it's just a big party. And that is why her model is based on having a huge, like a very large pool of volunteers. Like, you want as many people there that, because even when we started, we had like two or three people coming, but we had like five or six volunteers. And it's because we wanted it to always feel like it was just a big social fun gathering party event, and you need people to fill the room to do that. Mm-hmm. And a goal of ours also is to not have it be really, really obvious who's here because they're volunteering and who's here because they're, a person living with dementia. And so we don't have any, you know, designation to make that different. We gather together to enjoy spending time together. And it's just been very refreshing.
I so value the idea of that social model, I guess, because mm-hmm. I know medicine, the medical part is important, but I feel like, and maybe this is just my own work with people, but it just feels like so many people, dementia or not, are lonely and, mm-hmm. and needing that social connection and a place of belonging. And mm-hmm. so when you add the dementia and the challenges and the fears and all the things that go along with that, to have a place where you can go just to relax a little mm-hmm. bit, I mean, just seems like such an important, important piece.
Yeah, I have a story I like to tell about one of my clients that I had been seeing for maybe a year and a half, who was very isolated. She has family around, but they have their own, you know, many things that they're dealing with in just their lives. And so she, you know, she saw her family a couple times a week, and I would go out a couple times a week, but she was always, always in bed when I arrived, even if I was there at 1 p.m. I'd get up when I came, and it was good, but I knew she was spending a lot of time in front of the TV or in bed. And we started this program, and so now once a week I pick her up and bring her to the program. And now when I go to her house, she's up and dressed and ready to go. And she cannot wait to get in the car and go to the program. And she, everyone on the way home, she said, "Yeah, so good to get out of the house. It's so good. Thank you for taking me to the program. It's so good to get out of the house sometimes." Like, and so it really has altered her life mm-hmm. for the better. Mm-hmm.
Sounds hopeful and motivating and just so many pieces that, mm-hmm. gosh, life gets very heavy when we don't have some of those things.
Yeah. So it's been very good to see people coming back again and again. There's no contract to sign. There's no requirement. You come when you can, and we like to know when you're coming. And so we do, and I should take a moment to say this. If you're interested in the program, you need to call and let us know you're coming. Savannah will, you know.
Is that that same phone number you gave before?
Yep,
should we say it again?
That's the phone number, 608-637-3983. 608-637-3983. She'll set up a time for you to come and visit, low stress. You can visit for all 4 hours or for 30 minutes. See if you like the program. There is a little bit of paperwork to fill out just for our own, records. We just like to have emergency contacts and all that kind of stuff. And she takes care of that for you. And then, you can use the program. We have a woman who comes who, they vacation during holidays quite a bit in the wintertime. But when they're in town, they're here. And when they're gone, it's okay. And mm-hmm. we miss her and she comes back. So I probably should also say the program is designed for folks with mild to moderate dementia. It's hard for us to provide the level of care for somebody with severe dementia. We do take all cases on a trial basis, but somebody with the more advanced is going to need more care, more of that care that we can't are not going to be able to provide.
And so maybe this is a place to educate me a little bit more, even. What's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's, or is Alzheimer's a dementia? And, and even as you talk about mild or moderate, can you describe that a little bit? Or
Sure, absolutely. So dementia is kind of the umbrella term for, you know, cognitive challenges, whether they're caused from like a progressive disease, or whether they're caused from an injury, or whether they're a birth, you know, caused from birth.
Okay.
But what we're when we're talking about like dementia in the elderly, most of the time we're talking about Alzheimer's because it's the most common form of dementia. And that's the progressive, the very kind of recognizable, like, you know, slow, like, memory loss, you know, losing repetition, you know, saying things, forgetting a conversation and having that same conversation over and over again, forgetting where your keys are. It progresses. Maybe you don't recognize where you are when you're out in the world. You can't find your way home again.
So would it be fair to say that maybe a part of aging is a little bit of dementia? Do we all experience it to a certain extent?
There's normal aging processes that also cause our brains to kind of slow down a little bit, when we might get a little forgetful and lose some ability to, you know, multitask, or, you know, kind of some of that focus. We lose a little bit of that. That's normal and does not mean that you have dementia.
Okay.
What I like to say to people is that if that starts to progress and get worse and worse, then that might be a sign. Also, another good example is, like, I might forget where I left my keys, or lately I lose my phone all the time, that's a new thing for me, and I'm not even that old. But I know how to find it. And somebody who's really in a dementia process would be forgetful and also start to lose the ability to solve those problems.
I see.
So so that's also a bit of the difference.
It's just helpful to think about, too. I have a 91-year-old mother, and, you know, and we have conversations different times because she's very conscious of her forgetting or memory lapses. And, shoot, I think I recognize I do a lot of those, too. So, but I recognize there is a place that it crosses a line. So that seems very helpful to think about not having the ability to solve the problem as kind of an indicator where things are progressing in a way that might be more problematic.
Or you might just notice that conversations don't go the way they used to, you know, somebody just really gets things mixed up in conversations, and even starts to lose their ability to identify objects or to know how to even brush their teeth, you know, or put their clothes on. But that would be in the more advanced stages.
I see.
There are a couple other fairly common dementias. One's called vascular dementia, which often would happen after somebody has a stroke. Yeah, so you're going to see more in, like, language, or like the ability to track a conversation or a series of tasks. That's a little more distinctive and focused than Alzheimer's, which is a general and progressive form. And then the other fairly common one, I've actually had a number of clients who have Lewy body dementia, which is unusual in that it's less about memory loss and more of a variable. Like, somebody can have a really great day and you think nothing's wrong, and then they'll have a day where they seem completely different. And it's very variable, and often comes with, like, hallucinations and things like that. So if you have someone experiencing, like, hallucinations or delusions, that might be a form of Lewy body dementia that's fairly common.
Well, all of that has to be very challenging, both for the person experiencing it and for their loved ones, the people around them.
I will say this, that if you're a family that has dementia, a person with dementia, that getting someone in a program like ours early will be very, very beneficial as things progress. One of the hardest things to see is that when, by the time somebody's become advanced, that so advanced in the process that they, that their caregiver really, really needs a break, that's when you start, that's when they're, when they're at that point where learning a new thing, like a new program, is harder. It's not impossible, but it's much, much harder. So I like to tell people, like, if you think you're on that, on that, on that journey into dementia, like, starting with the things you're going to need later, earlier, gets that into a person's memory, that they'll take with you into the more difficult times. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and it makes me think about how, as a culture, we kind of tend to, I don't know, think we can do it, you know, we're going to tough it out, or we're going to figure it out.
This is not the time to do that.
Not the time to do that.
Because if somebody's started with this program when they have very, very mild dementia, they're going to be comfortable with it, and it'll be an environment that they recognize long into their, into the stages, the more advanced stages. And so it's just something I like to let people think about. You know, if you're thinking of moving, move earlier than later so that you have a lot more time to get used to a new environment, a new home environment.
And ask for help earlier rather than later. It just seems like that's an important piece also. Don't wait too long. We always think we can do it.
Don't wait till you're burned out.
And that's got to be hard, though, too, when it's someone that you care about. And, you know, especially, you know, thinking the elderly and some of these couples that have been together for such a very long time. You know, they're so intertwined.
And the separation anxiety that goes along with dementia is very real, and it can just tug on you when you're the caregiver. And it can be very hard to leave that person because they're really tugging on your heart. I have people ask me all the time, like, I feel so bad about leaving him or her, you know? I feel really, I don't know what to do. I really need a break, but, you know, they don't want me to go. Is it going to be okay? And I would just want to say yes. Like, we're capable of taking care of your loved one for that short amount of time so that you can have a break. And also, I tell people, like, we have your cell phone number. We're not, you know, if something is, you know, we know how to get a hold of you if we need you. And if you haven't heard from us, then things are going really well. And you don't have to, and, you know, try
just,
and relax.
It seems like it's that's such an interesting idea on the opposite end of the life spectrum. Because I remember dropping my kids
off
at daycare.
I was just thinking about that,
Yeah, and you know how hard it is. You know, they cry and they fuss and you don't want to leave. And
And you think you're such a bad mom because you left them there. I know. I had the same thing going on with my kids.
So, you know, I don't know. Childish coming in, and I don't know, in sort of some ways, some of the same needs going out, or I don't know, similar experience.
It can be. It can be, absolutely. And people talk about that, you know, that middle, the middle age when you might still be caring for some of your, you know, growing children, even if they're young adults. Like, oh, my kids are fully grown adults, but they still need me a lot.
And I've got some like that too.
And my parents are aging and also are in that place where they're starting to need more. And so, and you're in the middle, you're kind of caught between those two worlds, but there are similarities to them.
Well, you described the program as now having, since it has existed now for a year and a half, it's successful. So that must feel like pretty successful, pretty solid now. Do you feel that?
Well, yes. I mean, we would still like to grow in our, you know, our friends who are coming to utilize the program. We still have plenty of room, and we would like to probably double from what we are now, to be a functional, or not the word functional, self-sustaining program.
Sure.
So, and we can talk about that a little bit more.
Okay, I guess it's time for a break again. So this is Conversations on WDRT 91.9 Community Radio, Viroqua, Wisconsin. And we're happy that you're tuning in. The Conversation shows airs every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. with a rotating series of hosts and guests, always different topics. We welcome you back anytime on Thursday morning at 9 a.m., or you can listen into the program in the archives later on. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back to the program, Conversations. This is Kayleen Welsh, and I'm here with Tanya Burka, and we're talking about the Time for Joy program for Vernon County and Viroqua area, people with dementia and their families. So we were just talking about growing the program. That's something that there's room for. There's room for more people to participate.
Absolutely. We would like to probably get to about double what we are now, and then that would feel really good. So I did want to mention, too, that we do ask for a small payment to come to the program, and saying that we would never turn anyone away. So we don't want that to ever be a barrier to anyone utilizing the program. But if we have enough paying members, then it becomes a self-sustaining program. Like I said, we started with grants, and we've been sustaining with that for this year, but growing the program will make us just more financially stable. And so we're always looking for new members. We're always looking for volunteers because the more people, the more fun it is, but also so that we just have a growing cast of people who know how to work within the program as we continue. We'd like to add and become a two-day program. That was always our goal. Mm-hmm. We're not quite there yet. We would need more volunteers in order to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But that was our goal, was to have 2 4-hour programs a week. Mm-hmm. So more volunteers, more members. And we're always looking for community partners. So we like to do activities with our members who are that connect them to the community. So we have the Historical Society comes over and does programs, a little bit of activities and programs with us, and that's always really fun. We have Jane, who comes and does exercises, and we have musicians who come in. And so if you're somebody in the community who is really good at something or has something to share or likes to just do a little activity with a small group of people, we would love to hear from you and get you onto our regular, program. It could be as often as once a month, and it could be as seldom as once a quarter. Mm-hmm. Or just one time. I've been trying to get somebody to come over and make lefse with for our members. A lot of that just like things that folks would have done when they were younger. I would love to get people with old-time cars to come over this summer and do a car parade out in the parking lot. We have a couple members who really like cars. And any kind of movement activity is always welcome. Movement games, they have to be able to be done from a chair because we don't like our members to, have to get up and do a lot of walking around or moving around, but we can modify anything. We had somebody that came and did like some drumming, mm-hmm. with big balls and sticks, and that was a lot of fun. So we're always looking for community collaborations. I did want to give a shout out to our lunch makers. Jane Schmidt welcomed me to one of her, she has an exercise program, and then she invites guests to talk afterwards. And I did a little talk, and out of that program came that group. I think, I'm sorry if I get this wrong, but I think a group of women from that program now come in once a month and make the lunch for our members. And then another group, which is associated with Indivisible, that meets regularly, wanted to do some community service, and they also come in a different Wednesday of the month and do a lunch for our members. So when we first started, the church was doing all of the lunches for. Actually, when we first started, we were using the Meals on Wheels program, but that proved to be a little too much. It was a little too much coordination. So we started doing it in-house, and it was all being provided by the church. So having these community members come in and do the lunch for us has just been really, really great. We're getting a large variety of wonderful, healthy meals, and it's just really fun to have those visitors come in. They usually come in about a half an hour before our lunch. Our lunch is at noon, and then they often will stick around a little bit afterwards, mm-hmm. and then they also eat lunch with us. And so that's been a really wonderful experience to have those community members provide that lunch for us. So thank you for that.
Well, it seems like community is just such an important word, mm-hmm. you know, for any of these programs or any of these things that we need. We need each other. Mm-hmm. And so that's really wonderful to have people that will take their time. And I appreciate it also. It sounds like, you know, you kind of get to know your friends, the people mm-hmm. that are coming for the program, and what they would respond to mm-hmm. and what they would enjoy. So mm-hmm. like the idea of that car parade. Mm-hmm. So, and then just, you know, rounding up people. And I would imagine there's a few people out there with some cars that they would love to show off. Mm-hmm. So it's just mm-hmm. matching the people or the getting the things to all line up mm-hmm. together, which mm-hmm. is really helpful. But community mm-hmm. involvement seems, you know, apparently a really good thing.
So, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, super good. And so, you know, there's, it just seems like you guys have got a lot going on there. There's a lot of potential for that program. I did do a little bit of research on Alzheimer's and dementia statistics in Vernon County, and found that apparently there is an estimated 10.3% of Vernon County's 65 and over population that has Alzheimer's. So those were numbers from 2023 from the Alzheimer's Association, but at that point then that ranked Vernon County as number 33 out of 72 counties in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what that translated to was about 700 people in Vernon County with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. You know, I was stunned at that number. I just didn't really anticipate it to be so high. And I don't know why. I guess I just haven't kept track of the mm-hmm. that percentage of the population. But so it seems like there is plenty of need mm-hmm. for a program like this. And, you know, getting people to participate, to mm-hmm. be able to come and to really grow this program so it can be this community benefit. Mm-hmm. What a great thing mm-hmm. to have going on.
Absolutely. Oh, I also wanted to say too that if you want to volunteer for our program, you don't have to you don't have to be there every Wednesday. You could just volunteer for one Wednesday a month or whatever works out for you. So okay. I didn't want that to be a barrier for volunteers. You don't have to be there every Wednesday.
Well, it sounds like a good opportunity for volunteers. It's a fun time. It's a party. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, a good time just to show up with some social activity and yet not a high demand. I mean, you can commit to whatever feels right for you.
Exactly.
Plus you get training and support. You're not mm-hmm. there alone. You always mm-hmm. have a lot of other people around with you, which mm-hmm. is always really helpful and reassuring.
Absolutely.
So if somebody's looking for something to do, this would be a great opportunity to make a difference and
yep.
get involved. All right.
You wanted to ask me about joy.
I did. I'm just curious a little bit about how did the title even A Time for Joy come about? And what, you know, I don't typically associate the words joy with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about that.
Well, the name was chosen actually by Pastor Michelle and the church board when they decided to accept the program under their kind of fiscal umbrella and then let us use the space there. They came up with the name. So I don't know what that conversation actually was. However, I can tell you that we laugh more than we do anything else in the program. And so it really is a joyful program. So I don't know if you've spent a lot of time going in and out of nursing homes or long-term care facilities or things like that, you know, sometimes it can feel, you know, it can feel quiet or, you know, they certainly have activities going on there too. But this is 4 hours of sustained social engagement. Sometimes just quietly talking to your neighbors, but sometimes playing a fun game where we're all laughing, and there's like nothing will make us laugh more than playing balloon volleyball, which is one of everybody's favorites. So you can imagine, like, it's so silly and everybody loves it. And it gets you stretching your arms up, and you know, it's a fun program. And I think that was always the intent, is that we wanted to bring a little bit of joy into everyone's lives. Like we both said earlier, it can be a very isolating disease, dementia, and it can become really challenging to manage on a day-to-day basis. And so a little bit of joy is needed in everybody's life, but especially those struggling with and living with dementia.
That is all for sure. You know, I think laughter is one of the things that lifts our vibration, lifts our energy, lifts our mm-hmm. mood, lifts us out of whatever heavy stuff we're carrying, mm-hmm. probably better than anything. And in, you know, my metaphysical studies, but, you know, there's an idea that when we think about emotions and vibration, that joy, there's a guy named David Hawkins that did a whole lot of work on energy or emotions and vibration and frequency, and he said that joy was so high up on the scale that it really is a place where healing occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that idea, because I think we all need lightness, and we mm-hmm. all need, you know, places where we can lift up and find some joy, and especially when life gets heavy. And this is I have not had a lot of experience personally with a person with dementia, other than, you know, an aunt particularly. And I just know what a struggle that was for her family as that progressed, and mm-hmm. she became more and more isolated. And I just, you know, personally, I have a hard time imagining that for my loved ones. So having a place where they can go and can make these social connections and mm-hmm. feel a little more comfortable and be served a good meal. I see a lot of people living alone and suffering alone. And mm-hmm. so I'm grateful for you, Tanya, and the work that you and your team and your staff and aging and disability resources and all
these.
Yeah, well, you know what I meant. So, you know, the people around you, the people that you have, you know, rounded up to help, or that, yeah, I know it's not just you. I know it's a community effort.
Yeah, we could not do this without the board at Emmanuel Lutheran. Yeah. They really went to bat for us to have us be there. And like I said, a lot of volunteers come from the church.
Yeah, so well, and really I got to appreciate, and not to throw out a whole lot of religious stuff either, but, you know, Emmanuel Lutheran, I mean, Lutheran Church is one of their mission seems very typically to be active in the community.
Oh, they are so active
so,
over there.
So, you know, you got to really appreciate that. That's, you know, we are trying to all figure out how to live in this crazy world right now. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of challenges for people. And the more that we can lighten that load just a mm-hmm. little bit for people, that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
So if you want to know more about the program or volunteers, again, let's go back to your phone number.
Our phone number is 608-637-3983, which is the phone number for the main line at Emmanuel. Just leave a message that you're inquiring about Time for Joy, and someone will get back with you. We do have a email address. It's more complicated, but it's timeforjoy@Emmanuel, and if you don't know how to spell that, I did not. It's immanuel-lc.org. So that's way too complicated. Just make the phone call and check us out on Facebook.
So there's a Time for Joy page on Facebook?
There is a Facebook page just called Time for Joy.
Time for Joy. Mm-hmm.
And also the Respite for All Foundation website, Respite for All, has, like, we're one of their programs within that.
Okay.
So you can read more about just the program itself from the Respite for All website.
And that was .org, respiteforall.org?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
well, volunteers needed, you know, great program, let's keep showing up. And we'll just go back and do a quick summary, but we started out with Viroqua Community Theater too. So we're doing Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Auditions coming up.
18th and 19th.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so there again,
what's... Go to the website, viroquacommunitytheater.org, to get all the audition information and the sign up.
Very good. Any other questions or thoughts or closing comments?
No, but I really appreciate you letting me come and talk about our program. And I should say, even if you're just interested in the program, we're happy to have visitors.
Oh, even nice. If
you don't have a person with dementia in your life, if you just want to know more about it, come on over and visit with us. We'd love to have you talk more about our program and see if you've got a skill to share with us.
Well, and as we see an aging population, you know, mm-hmm. we will probably see some of us ending up in some of these kinds of programs. And mm-hmm. so, yes, get familiar. No, you know, look ahead. Think
Absolutely.
About what's out there and how you can be supportive of it in case you might need it coming down the line.
That's right. Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Thank you, Tanya.